alongside the missile with the whistle, Kadri Ismail.
I was just about to whistle.
But you didn't.
I can't because...
Did you choke?
No, no, no. It's different when it's sports line.
Yeah, I hear you.
And this microphone will light up a ton of ears out there in radio land that I just don't want to do.
Probably Prudent Jay Cottrell here as well. And now we're talking to Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com. J-Mo, what's up?
Hey, nothing too much, guys.
Well, nothing too much, but six figures.
Six figures for my time.
For me, I didn't know we were talking about my wallet.
Well, you know, my take on it, Jameson, was there was almost some empathy from the Ravens locker room today for Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean, I thought probably the most honest was Torrey Smith, who said, you know, when they announced it, they were like, yeah, it's $100,000. He's like, wow, really, $100,000? But he also said that the tone would probably be different if this resulted in a Ravens loss. He said, I can't lie. I would probably be blaming Tomlin if things went differently. Chris Canty, who was just as vocal as Joe Flacco, was saying that he thought Mike Tomlin intentionally did step in the field and interfere with Jacoby Jones. You know, he kind of summed it up saying that, the punishment fit the crime. Yeah, I think a lot of people thought it was going to be a hefty fine, which it was. There's only one coach who's been fined more, and that was Bill Belichick, who got $500,000 against him for Spygate. And the NFL kind of left it open, saying that there is a possibility they could revisit taking away a draft pick from the Steelers once the draft order is finalized. It's hard to interpret whether this is still just another way of sending a strong message and using this as a scare tactic, or if they're actually going to follow through and remove a draft pick from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That draft pick, boy, that really shows you Roger Goodell is thinking that, you know, what he did was just totally messing up the integrity of the game. And you're right. I mean, they won the game. So you're looking at that and saying, okay, that's cool. But if they lost the game, and then you're also talking about, you know, as you move forward, there's the potential of the playoff picture and the tiebreaker system and just a whole bunch of mess when it comes to a 2-point victory as opposed to maybe a 4-point or 5-point victory.
Yeah. And you know, if the Ravens had lost, I think that's when you're talking about suspension for Mike Tomlin, possible removal of him from the NFL competition committee, which is
very prestigious.
Very prestigious group that actually decides what the rules are going to be and really suggest them to the owners. I think that's when we would be talking about that kind of severity. But still, I mean, the NFL has made it clear that Tomlin's actions impacted a play on the field, which is, you know, they're, whether it was accidental or intentional, it does not matter. He was on the field. He was on the wrong, and the NFL had to act. And this was pretty swiftly, within a week of coming to this level of fine. And I think that's what really sends such a strong message. And you know, as Torrey Smith kind of alluded to today, you know, Harbaugh is pretty good at staying off the field. But when you're fining guys $100,000, he expects Harbaugh to maybe even take a couple steps back.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Moving on to the game against Minnesota, Jameson, and the Ravens looking forward about maybe getting their tight end Dennis Pitta back. I thought it was interesting. On one hand, I thought Harbaugh sounded oddly optimistic and kind of tipping his hand. And then you heard Joe Flacco a few minutes later say that he hasn't done a whole lot in practice yet.
Yeah, and he ran individual routes leading up to the Jets, but you got to remember for the Pittsburgh week, that's that shortened week where they're really not practicing. It's more of a walkthrough type pace because they're trying to save and really help these guys' bodies kind of rejuvenate for that next game. So you're not going to wear them out with long, fast tempo practices. So for Pitta, he really wasn't doing much last week. I believe this week they are going to ramp up what he can do and how he fares, not only how he looks out there, but how his body reacts to the increased activity out in the field, I think will determine a lot. But just Harbaugh talking about that Pitta went to see you know, the doctors up in New York, kind of gives me the impression that he was looking for the final sign-off to say, hey, you're ready to go. So it would almost, now I'm in the position of thinking, I would be surprised if he didn't play. Who knows how many, you know, snaps he's going to get, but just judging from what Harbaugh said today, I fully expect to see Pitt out in the fields on Sunday.
Boy, it'll be interesting to see how they use him for those limited amount of snaps and how effective he will be, because it's one thing to rehab, it's another thing to train and prep yourself for the rigors and the violence of the game of football.
Yeah, and I mean, he really hasn't had, you know, other than getting hit on that first contact practice of training camp, really the most, you know, contact in full speed environment for Pitta, the last time he had that was in the Super Bowl. So you're talking a very long time, but I think they bring him along gradually. I think they put him in situations, whether it's just the obvious passing situation or third downs, maybe if they get into the red zone, things of that nature. But they're not going to ask him to go out and be the every down tight end. I mean, that still is going to be Ed Dixon, who's the better blocker than Dallas Clark. I think Ed Dixon still gets the bulk of the snaps when you're talking about the tight ends. But I think when you see Pitta out there, the guy's probably going to get hurt the most. I think Dallas Clark's snaps actually decrease the more you see of Dennis Pitta this year.
And so as far as roster spot, who gets that, is, you know, like that cut? Who how does he become active then? Who's going to be let go?
Yeah, I think, you know, with Brendan Trawick, you know.
Oh, his ankle.
An undrafted rookie who has showed a lot of potential on special teams, you know, outside of running against Jacoby Jones and injuring him in the season opener. Yeah. Other than that, you know, he has done very well on special teams, but he has a high ankle sprain. He did not practice again. I fully expect when they bring up Dennis Pitta that Trawick will probably, this is, you know, me reading between the lines, that he will go on injured reserve and his season will end.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I see it as well. There's some other candidates maybe in there. Bernard Scott hasn't been active yet since they signed him, right?
Yes. It's kind of, you know, you wonder why they even brought him along. You know, both the running backs right now, even though they're not having great production, I think health wise, you're not in a position where you're thinking they're going to be missing anything. But yeah, Bernard Scott's been inactive since they brought him up. So yeah, I believe he would be another candidate as well.
Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com. JMO, thanks for the insight.
Great. Thank you, guys.
That's Jameson Hensley. We'll come back with more next. We'll hear about Adrian Peterson and how the Ravens plan on stopping him when we come back here on BAL.